BFFT. From the PAC West Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with a bald-faced truth.
I like talking to smart people and asking them questions. I don't know about you, but like, if I get in an elevator like with Bill Gates or Mark Cuban or Greg Popovich for that matter and ask him a bunch of questions, I would do it. We're going to take an elevator ride with Marshall Cho. For people who don't know Marshall, it's a guy who attended the University of Oregon, got a master's in mathematics from Columbia University. Born in Seoul, moved to Springfield when he was 10 years old. Not on loan, his parents brought him there. But he loves basketball. He loves teaching as well. Began his career through the Teach for America program, teaching math in the South Bronx in Harlem. He's the boys basketball coach at Future Leaders Institute. He took them to the New York City Charter School Championship. Then he went to Mozambique, where he worked as a coach and instructor with the National Basketball Federation there and became the varsity boys basketball coach there, launching that program. NBA's Basketball Without Borders, DeMatha Catholic High School in Maryland, coached there, Victor Oladipo, Quinn Cook, Jeremy Grant, among the players that he sent to the NBA. He was the director of basketball operations at the University of Portland, and then the varsity boys basketball coach at Lake Oswego High School, where he had success, League Coach of the Year, Nike Hoop Summit, Team USA, men's junior national team, you know, some stuff. So let's get him on the show. Marshall Cho joining us. Does that sound like, as you hear me kind of recount it, you're probably nodding your head going, oh, I remember that. Oh, yeah, I remember that. Well, that was hard. That was quite a journey, Marshall.
Yeah, I'm exhausted just listening to congratulations. You did a heck of a job. Or thank you for that kind intro. But I did live that life, and sometimes I look back and, you know, I'm just filled with gratitude and also in wonderment and how it all played out the way it did. But I'm super grateful for the journey and looking forward to what's ahead next.
Give me an idea, you know, being a kid who comes from Seoul, you come from Korea, you're in Springfield, Oregon, and you have this love of basketball. How did, you know, you're 10 years old, that is not an easy age to make that kind of move.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what's funny is about that is I didn't fall in love with basketball for probably another year after I had immigrated to the States. And I think, you know, when I look back on that journey in the late 80s, access to sports for us meant, at least for me, it meant that I was, you know, I had the good fortune of living right across the street from my park, right, that had tennis court, that had a baseball field, that had basketball courts. And there was a community that would come out and organically, you know, as a child, I would learn how to play. And again, I grew up playing baseball and soccer in Korea. Those are the two main sports. Soccer was where I learned that, you know, I was pretty good at it, having grown up playing in it. So when I immigrated, didn't speak the language, just being able to blend in with the kids. But I mean, even beyond that, like stand out, you know, that attracted my classmates to me, right? So I understood at a young age that if you're good at sports, you know, there are certain things in life that can play out well for you. At the same time, I love baseball, but, you know, my parents, you know, were working their hard, you know, immigrant transition from South Korea, didn't have the money or the means to give me access to baseball. So in an ironic way, because I didn't have access to one sport, you know, I had to seek out another sport where there wasn't a very barrier to entry, either a basketball and a hoop, and off I went.
You are a teacher, and I mean that with all respect. Like, teachers within sports, some of the best coaches are great teachers. Where did you get that love of teaching others, or maybe develop a passion for teaching others?
you know, I think you, a lot of that, it's learned behavior. You know, ironically, my mother, you know, had a real desire to be an art teacher when she was growing up in South Korea. Fate would have it, you know, that that's not the path that she was, you know, able to take. And she took a job at a bank where she met my dad. And, you know, fortunately for that, you know, coincidence, I'm here today, you know, raising my own kids in Lake Oswego. But I think I learned it really at home first, you know, my mom being the ultimate teacher for us children. But beyond that, you know, when I moved to the States, I was just really lucky. You know, I had a lot of teachers who poured into me, who took an interest in somebody who was an outsider, who didn't speak the language. And, you know, it was really truly a village, you know, experience growing up in Springfield, where the entire school rallied around, you know, the one or two ESL teachers that they would have, or ESL students that they would have moving in. So it started there. You know, again, I'm a little sheepish about this conversation being about me, because I think when I reached out to you, it was really, and we'll get to it, I'm sure, but, you know, it was about all these years later, seeing something familiar with what I grew up in, with so many volunteer coaches that I had, right? You know, the reason I called you is because there's a Little League baseball team here in our little pocket in Lake Ridge that is playing in the Babe Ruth World Series in Eagle Pass, Texas. And four of the coaches that are there have been volunteering basically since, you know, these are kids where my own son's teammates were going to be freshmen at Lake Ridge next year. And for the past 9 years, they've been volunteering countless hours as a youth soccer coach, youth basketball, you know, baseball coach, basketball coach. So, you know, Springfield, like, you know, it's the same thing. It wasn't club sports. It wasn't even high school athletics yet. But it was the local dads who volunteered their time, passed on those values, and, you know, a big part of the reason why I'm the coach I am today.
Marshall Cho is with us, basketball coach. You're talking about baseball, but really, you know, we're talking coaching, and I'm going to get to how our listeners might be able to help this baseball team out. But, you know, give me an idea, because I think in today's, let's just say, college world, we are seeing coaches who entered the profession knowing there's a lot of money out there if they can get to the top levels. I don't think coaches got into it for money years ago, and I think in some weird way it may have changed the type of people who are getting into the profession. But you're talking about the grassroots, you know, community volunteer coach who's not in this, you know, has, you know, who's working another job, who has, you know, is selling real estate or owns a small business and then is coaching a baseball team or coaching a basketball team on the side. Those people are community heroes.
Yeah, we don't talk about them enough. And, you know, on one hand, they are. They're truly heroes. They're the backbone of our, you know, each of the little pockets of community we have. And the more of them that we have, you know, I think that reflected, you know, once you do see some of these high school, you know, programs performing in whatever their sport may be. But, you know, I think the other piece of it too, you do realize that, at least in our community too, in Lake Oswego, I think what's been really neat to see is that, you know, there's a lot of the parents show gratitude for these youth coaches, right? And the kids are, again, at that age, I think many of us get into coaching because we know that we're having an impact, a lifelong impact that's going to, you know, benefit these kids off the court. I think, and then you take that all the way up to college. You know, I've spoken to a lot of my, you know, former colleagues or coaches who moved on to that level. And I think they struggle with that now, given the landscape where, you know, I think even a lot of college coaches got into it because they wanted to impact lives. They want to enter into a transformational relationship, not a transactional one. But that's, you know, rapidly changing, as you've been covering for all of us with all the NIL and all the conference alignment, realignment. But, you know, I think as we anoint these heroes or celebrate them and thank them, also, you know, I think we want to get to that place again, you know, where coaches get something out of it too, because it's not in the financial gains that we all do this for. And that's talking about these youth coaches all the way up to high school coaches, you know, across the state. You know, that work for just pennies to the dollar.
Four Portland area teams heading to the World Series, including the 12-year-olds from West Lynn, the 16U team from Portland, the 18-under club from Kelso, and the 14U club from Lake Ridge that Marshall's talking about. Give me an idea of what it's like to be a parent watching your kid play on a team.
Yeah, you know, it's what, so what's really neat about this particular class, so my son actually was on, you know, what you may call the B team. So, you know, he's back home here with me dealing with this heat in a different way in Lake Oswego, Oregon. But the A team for our area, you know, they're not a club-based team. This is all the local kids who grew up here. I think that's what's also just neat about it. You know, they're truly representing this community and kids that they grew up with. And so, you know, what I love to do is these are kids that are my son's classmates, right? So what can those of us who are not on this journey, you know, do our part to help with that? And, you know, for me, it was just coming up with an idea to, you know, I have some camps, you know, I've been running locally and they've been doing well, but, you know, I always have a little bit of space to give. And, you know, I wanted to support them by having 100% of the proceeds of the camp go to these kids. And, you know, you're talking about those four teams, and I wonder about how all the other three teams are managing the costs. And, you know, maybe people outside of our community may not be thinking, hey, like, you know, players from Lake Oswego don't need that kind of financial help. But what I'm learning even through this experience, being on the ride from the outside and watching them and celebrating them, is, you know, they just went to Calgary, played a huge tournament, and now they're going to Texas of all places. And you don't really buy tickets or hotels or, you know, make all these arrangements until you're qualified. So the cost of these, you know, once in a lifetime opportunities can be really large. So it's been really neat to see how the, you know, community rallies, you know, rallied around this group. And I'm just trying to play my small part and see if I can help them cut the cost down a little bit.
For people who are interested, PacerYouthBaseball.org is the website. And Marshall chose basketball camp August 5th through the 8th. Came at a donation of $200, you know, offering an opportunity for kids that wanted to participate to give back. And, you know, for people who want to just make a donation, you can go to that website, PacerYouthBaseball.org, and you can give $10, give $100, give what you can. But Marshall, give me an idea, like, how coaching has changed, how kids have changed, how parents have changed in your time, maybe more recently coaching.
I think we're, again, it's you blink and now it's 2024. You know, we lived through the COVID times, and you know, that's 2020. I think back 4 years ago, that's a full graduating class. You know, I had the great honor of speaking at a commencement speech at Wichita State University this past spring. And as I was preparing for it, the folks at the university, the administration, reminded me that a lot of these kids didn't get to have their high school graduation. And a lot of the college, you know, graduates this past year, this was the first graduation ceremony that they got to go through in 8 years. I think at the end of the day, you know, as I'm talking about, you know, we sometimes look at youth basketball or any kind of youth scene, and we think the sky is falling, and we lament all that's going bad. And I think that's why I like an opportunity like this to talk to you, to celebrate that as I'm looking back in my late 80s and knowing, you know, thinking back to all the impactful dad coaches that I had, I got to kind of see that with this group that's coming up. Joe Bayless, Chris Affley, you know, and Steve Meyer and others. I see like a throwback to it. And I think that's where you get to celebrate that a little bit. You know, Brian Holmes, another coach who I grew up with in the Shelton area, like we talked about it a lot, where they wanted to kind of give that kind of same experience that I, you know, those of us in our mid to late 40s had. So as I'm telling you about this graduation, where, you know, college graduation, where this window of, you know, kids didn't get to have that, I think we're a more resilient group, if you look at it, more resilient than we may recognize. And I think focusing on those things, you know, will help us not sit back here and go, the times have changed, you know, and and really like get into a mode of complaining versus trying to think of solutions and celebrating the things that are going well.
Give me an idea, because you know, as I look at the Pacer Youth Baseball donation page, you've got a camp this week, and then you have a second camp on the 12th through the 15th. The cost
Correct.
Is $200. 100% of the proceeds go to help the travel expenses for this Babe Ruth World Series team. But you know, this is a great opportunity for somebody who's got a kid who wants to work on their skills, wants to be taught, wants to you know, be challenged a little bit. And give us an idea of what happens at you know, Marshall Cho's basketball camp on August 12th.
You know, it's making sure that they're having fun, that, you know, that they actually own, you know, they have a sense of ownership for the camp, I think is the biggest trick of it all. You know, most camps, you know, they might come in and, you know, you're focusing mostly on games, but I like to try to sandwich some of that fundamentals and all that, you know, all the important footwork or, you know, your shooting technique or your passing, you know, acumen. We want to give that to them while, you know, sandwiching it with a lot of kids breaking sweat and having games. So at the end of the day, you know, you want them coming back and, you know, going home and basically asking, you know, when they can come back to camp the next day or if they can come back earlier. One of the things that I think I've done a good job of over the years is, you know, it's something I've taken from the USA Basketball Junior National Team program. And it's also, you know, from my time and influence from Morgan Wooten at the Mapa Catholic, the powerhouse basketball program you were describing, in, you know, earlier in the introduction. I think the great coaches, like you said, you know, we want to try to impart something, you know, that touched their hearts and minds. You want to give them some quotes that, you know, they can really think about. You know, the quote that I gave the kids today and challenged them to talk about it at home at the dinner table is, you know, true growth only happens when you leave your comfort zone. You know, inch by inch, life is inch, yard by yard, life is hard. That's the Dr. Seuss quote that Morgan Wooten used to quote. And just reminding everybody that, you know, it's really, again, you want a camp or you want a practice of a high school practice. You want the post-game locker room talk in the locker room at a high school varsity game. You want those to, that whatever you're giving your players, you want that the conversation to continue to take place and live on organically in their own communities, in their own, you know, households. So that's been the best part of being a camp coach over the years for me, when a parent will come back the next day and say, hey, on the car ride home, you know, you think about the car ride home for a lot of these youth players. And we, as coaches, we try to remind parents to not talk about the game that just happened, right? And then think about a camp, a summer camp experience, where you're getting in the car, you're not talking about the stats, how many points you scored or why you lost the game, who took more shots than the other guy on the team. You're not thinking about any of that, but you're thinking about, you know, mind candies like the ones that I just mentioned, and a father or a mother asking their child, like, what does it look like for you to leave a comfort zone? And what does growth look like? So when parents come back the next day from a camp and tell me that they had a meaningful car ride conversation or a meaningful conversation at the dinner table, you know, those are the priceless wins that that you can't list on my you know, long resume or any of us, you know, who got into this profession for the right reasons.
Well, I just think it's amazing that, you know, a parent who's listening to the show could sign their kid up and they're getting in the kind of instruction that, you know, is being given at the Hoop Summit, or the kind of instruction that you would see at high level high school and college programs. It's $200. It's the 12th through the 15th. Do you have ages, Marshall? Like, you know, what's too young? What's too old?
Yeah, you know, I try to make, it's funny, we just talked about the comfort zone quote. You know, I like to, sometimes I shake my head and wonder, you know, why I make it a little bit challenging for myself. But the camp that we have going on at Riverside High School next week will be grades first through eighth grade. And so the challenge sometimes, you put it out like that, you know, you get the seventh or eighth graders who might be too cool for school and not want to be in the same space as a first grader. But, you know, we staff it with plenty of coaches and we make sure to meet the players where they're at so that they're challenged appropriately. So it's a beautiful space, a brand new high school 3A program in the Westland Wilsonville district. It's a program led by Chuck Matthews, a longtime veteran coach of Madison High School. They're building something special there. And so it's just a privilege for me to be in that building for a few hours next week, and hopefully, you know, raise some money that will go to a good cause and celebrate the kids from our neighborhood.
So you're talking grades 1 through 8 next week. The cost is $200. Oddly, you can go to PacerYouthBaseball.org, and you can see that.
Backslash donations.
But I'm also tweeting out a link, direct link.
Beautiful.
For the camp. Yeah. So I'm about to tweet this out, and it is a link that will take you right to the checkout of that camp. And, you know, you had one this week. How did it go this week? How did this week's camp go? It ended today, I guess.
Yeah, it ended today. It was a blast. I mean, you talk about, you know, I'm the luckiest coach in the world. I've had a charmed life. And when it comes to coaching some exceptional young men at Lake Oswego High School and all the other kids throughout, but I love, you know, time spent in the gym teaching a first grader how to shoot for the first time, because it takes me back to when somebody did that for me. So it's a way of giving back. But, you know, it's one thing to get to have the privilege to coach Cooper Flagg and come on Mala Watch and AJ DeBontos of the world. But, you know, there's something about giving back to the kids right in our backyard and waiting to see if any one of them will get a chance to turn into a Peyton Pritchard or a Jackson Shellstad or a Josh Engel. So it's a privilege I don't take lightly. And we had a blast today. So hopefully another great week with basketball ahead for the kids who will come next week.
I was talking to Kyle Smith, the Stanford coach, about Jackson Shellstad, and I said, you know, there's so much change. The roster at Oregon's going to have all this turnover. He kind of just paused, and then he said, Jackson Shellstad's going to have no problem with anybody around him. He will not be affected by anybody around him. You got a chance to coach against that kid, and now you've watched him at Oregon. What do you make of Jackson's game?
You know, I watched him obviously a little bit in Oregon, but even this past week, Nike Skills Academy took place on Nike World Headquarters campus. Jackson was one of the college players invited, so I literally got to see him the last few days. Looks like he's put on some muscle, and again, you know, it's one thing to be a lead guard in a brand new conference. It's just weird for me to say, having grown up at Oregon and attended Oregon. But it's another thing, you know, whether I got to see him at the Hoop Summit, you know, competing for the USA team. And now, you know, just even this past week, he was with some of the best college players in the country and holding his own and doing just fine. So I'm looking forward to rooting him on, and, you know, that's hopefully we can get some W's for my alma mater coming here in the Big Ten Conference.
Maybe you can help me with a little debate in my own household, Marshall. Forget the sport, because I think sometimes coaching is just coaching and parenting is just parenting, but it happens to be soccer. And you've got coaches that are trying to coach and teach the kids fundamentals and teach the kids the game. You have parents who are well-intentioned, who are yelling from the sideline, giving their instruction. And you have kids who are like 8 years old out onto the field who are a little confused because mom and dad are telling them to do one thing and the coach is telling them to do another thing. How do you navigate that as a coach? And what advice do you give to parents who are kind of out on the side there wanting to give instruction, wanting to be helpful, but maybe clouding or muddying the waters a little?
You know, I'm still going through it myself. So first of all, I think what I would tell the parents, again, I think, like earlier, we talk about, you know, what's going on with youth sports. And I think depending on the lens that you're putting on for each day, we can all become more cynics than problem solvers. So, you know, when I hear a question like that, you know, the temptation is to kind of turn this into an adversarial situation.
Right.
Between players, players, parents, and coaches, right? And I think I have more empathy now that I'm a parent. My daughter does not play any basketball, which is probably a good thing for our family. She's chosen also to use soccer as an outlet for herself. And, you know, anytime I sit myself and just, it's human nature to question, I think. You know, you take a step back and you recognize that these folks are doing it for pennies on the dollar. And, you know, what you can do on the flip side of just, you know, when they go to practice or when they come back from games is, you know, to be a supportive, you know, person for your own backyard. You know, if if, you know, for me, it's been just trying to steal a little bit of time where, you know, my daughter will go and kick around with me when it's on her terms, you know, if it's my son, if he's, for me with basketball in particular, I love it when I see my son having to figure it out on his own. I now support him, I say on his own, but really we want problem solvers at the end of the day. I think that's true in sports. If you think about whether it's, you know, for me coaching at the Hoop Summit game, I needed at the end of the shot clock, Nolan Trahor, a point guard from France, to make the decision. I'm not taking the shot. I'm not making the passes, right? But it's the same thing. If at the end of the day, you want that eighth grade kid to have a chance to make the shot or take the shot, have the courage to take it. And I think if we stay in our lanes as the cheerleaders to, you know, pick up our kids, you know, at the end of it all, I think it'll do all of us, you know, save us a lot of grief on the journey, and it'll be better for the kids in the long term.
Marshall Cho, I have tweeted out the link to his basketball camp for next week. If you got a kid, grade 1 through 8, give it a look. $200. The proceeds, 100% of the proceeds, go to help an area baseball team trying to pay their way to the Babe Ruth World Series. Marshall Cho, thank you for joining us. I appreciate you, my friend.
John, thank you for your time. Appreciate you.
You bet. There he goes, Marshall Cho. You can tell he's not here to get into a debate. He's not here to be fuel on the fire. I want to talk more about youth sports, and I want your input as well. What do you love about youth sports? What troubles you about youth sports? We're going to talk about it next. Leave it here. You got the BFT statewide.